Hey, welcome to the Mile High Church podcast. We've been teaching a wonderful class on the four spiritual laws of prosperity, and you are welcome to drop in anytime, even if you've missed a Tuesday or so. Come on and join us. It's great work, and we'll all learn to be more prosperous together. Look forward to seeing you via live stream or in person. For more information, go to milehighchurch.org. So we're continuing our series on cultivating abundance. I'm so excited to continue the series. This is week 2 of 3. And last week we talked about mindsets, and today we're talking about cultivating habits for abundance. And the truth is, these things go very much hand in hand. Last week when we talked about mindsets, we talked about how a mindset is a conglomeration of beliefs and ideas. I suggested it was like a cell with a core idea at the center of it, a sponsoring thought, an initial decision, an idea that then gets influenced by our experience and our emotions and our decisions, and all of it builds in such a way that it becomes magnetic and is a very active part in our experience of abundance in our lives. And I still believe that this is the most important work for us when it comes to up-leveling, changing, resolving, and solving any of the things that are happening in our experience. It's all about looking at the mindset that we have about it. Now, we believe very much in this, and the technologies that we teach here at Mile High Church are all about, in our messages, in our classes, in the work that we do in groups, all about learning to shift, to change, to transform our mindset, because we believe in that law of attraction that then brings to us exactly what we've been believing and shows us repeatedly, as I said, magnetically, what's so. And to some people, that might sound a little bit woo-woo. But I'm fond of reminding us that this is not just some woo-woo spiritual concept that those New Thought people made up. It was for a long time. However, now we know through the study of the brain that this is exactly what our brain does. There's a specific part of our brain called the reticular formatory system. It's almost like a search engine. It's very personalized. It takes in the information that you and I believe about life, and it proves to us that we're right over and over. In other words, what we expect to see, we tend to see. This is the core of what we've heard a lot about lately, unconscious bias. It's not that we're bad people. It's simply that our brain is doing us a favor. It's showing us, oh, well, you believe the world is an unhappy place where people are suffering and there's not enough love and there's not enough money. All you are going to see is evidence of that truth. That's all that will show up, because that is your brain and my brain's job. It is to work on our behalf and to show us what's so. So even if you don't believe in the spiritual mumbo jumbo, the science mumbo jumbo is confirming what we already believe. And so it behooves us, if we're working with our brain, it behooves us to find ways to impact, to change, to transform our mindsets about things. And that's where it starts. It also starts with there, because what happens for many of us is we want to start with the habits. We want to break ourselves of habits that don't serve us. Ways we're spending money, ways we're moving or not moving, eating, ways that we're interacting with people. We think if I just do something different, things will change. And to some degree, that definitely is true. And that's part of what we're talking about today. But I am very clear it doesn't start there. And I bet you're clear about that too. Anyone else in this room ever choose to break themselves of a habit only to find themselves back in that habit again, kind of unconsciously, slipping right back into your old ways? I'm never going to blah, blah, blah again. And then pretty soon you're blah, blah, blahing again. Why is that? It is because we as humans are not capable of shifting our behavior if we don't have a shift in mindset. Ernest Holmes, the founder of our teaching, says it like this: the limitations we find encircling us have but one source. They spring from our thought. They are the result of our negative habitual thought patterns, conscious or tucked away in the subconscious, which may have been instigated by our past experiences or the blind acceptance of what now appear to be the wrong ideas and concepts of others. Mindset is everything. If we talk about mindset, and one of the examples we like to use a lot to teach these concepts in terms of seeds that we plant in the soil, in terms of a garden, we see that the seed of a garden is like the seed of a mindset, and that the garden of life, be that law of attraction, that garden of the awareness, the garden of the mind, can only grow what we put into it. If we have a patch of garden and we put petunias and we put them in the ground and we plant them and we wait, the universe doesn't have the capacity to go, I really know she likes marigolds a lot better. I'm just going to take care of it for her. Let's just grow some marigolds instead for her. She'll be so much happier. No, it can't do that. And same for you and I when it comes to financial abundance. If we have not planted the seed and tended to the soil and planted new mindsets for abundance, there's no way that life has a capacity to grow financial prosperity for us until we are willing to plant the seeds. So it starts with mindsets. It starts with what we plant. If we look at our life like a patch of gardens and different subjects in those patches, I have a picture that I found online that I just love of a garden. Different patches of garden. To me, these equate different sections of our life. My relationships, my health, my financial abundance, my time and energy, what I do in the world to make a living, a career, all of the things that I want to experience in my life all have a patch of garden dedicated to them. And it's our job to tend to the garden. Life is not going to tend to your garden for you because you're a nice person or you've done the right things or you said the right things. Life can only give us what we plant in our gardens. And so when it comes to the different patches, we are responsible for tending to the garden. And the planting of the seeds is the mindset part. The habit is the weeding, is the watering, is the going out and checking on the garden. If we just leave the garden to tend to itself, what's going to happen? I love that story about the farmer who bought a piece of property and the minister came out to visit him and he saw that the farmer had transformed the land and it was beautiful. And the farmer said, well, God has done wonderful things with this farm since you've taken over. And yeah, and the farmer said, yeah, you should have seen what it looked like when God had it on his own. Many of us just surrender our patches of garden. We want more good. We want more time. We want more love. We want more peace. We want more money. We want more, but we're not willing to do what's necessary. First of all, to plant the seeds, to change our minds. Secondly, to tend to the garden, to be with it and take care of it. And any gardener who knows, you got to take care of your garden, or the weeds are going to pop out and they're going to choke out your seed and the things you want in the garden are not going to be there. So we have to tend to the garden. Today, it's Mother's Day. And so today I always look at, as Tom said earlier, maybe not every one of us has served life as a mother this lifetime, but the reality is we all got a mother somewhere. She may not be here on the planet anymore, but I see every Mother's Day, every Father's Day, every holiday, my chance to tend to the patch of garden that is my relationship with my mother. And I feel proud of how I've done that because I know not every mother is perfect. My mother wasn't perfect. Heck, I've shared stories with you all about how imperfect my mother was. Sorry, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. I know you're watching. But it is because my mother and I have tended to the patches of garden in connection with each other that I can say to you that that patch of my garden is one of my favorite patches in my life. Yes, thank you to my mother for that. And thank you to me for my willingness to do the work. Because when we're in a relationship with someone else, it's never, my patch of the garden is never, well, they're not attending to it. They got to fix it. No, it's not like that at all. We know that we can transform any relationship when we tend to our part of the garden that we're creating around that relationship. And so there's an opportunity afoot for us on this Mother's Day to celebrate it, at least in part, by weeding, by taking out some weeds, letting go, forgiving a little more, trying to put ourselves in our mother's place and see how they might have seen it. Whatever we see in that regard, we can make that patch of our garden a little more beautiful, a little more pristine, a little more lovely in our heart and in our life. That's what a holiday gives us to do that with. And so we have this opportunity to choose what the patches of our garden look like with regards to every part of our lives. Is it abundance or is it lack? Is that part of the garden dead and nothing's actually thriving? Is it filled with weeds? Is it horrible and stinky and gross? Do I need to take care of it? What do I need to do to fix this part of my garden? And again, it all starts with planting seed. The founding minister of the church that I used to work for in Arizona, she had a saying that I've shared a lot here because to me it's like one of the most powerful things in the world. She said, Reverend Joyce Murphy used to say, when the vision is clear, the decisions are easy. And I could also say that I would maybe even change that. You could say, when the intention is clear, the decisions are easy. When the seed that I've planted is clear, I've planted petunias. I'm clear, I've planted petunias. I'm growing a patch of petunias. The decisions about it now become, I have to take care of that plot of land. I've got to nurture it. It becomes easier when we're clear. I'm choosing peace. I'm choosing abundance. I'm choosing to plant seeds that there's more than enough of the good that I seek. And once that decision has been made, then it becomes easier to be about then doing what I need to do to make it so. Continuing to plant, to take care of the mindsets, continuing to nurture the ideas and to bring it forth. The habits are the action part. We often say around here, because we call prayer spiritual mind treatment, we often say treat and move your feet. Pray and act. That it all goes together. It's not just pray and then sit around and wait for it to happen. It's pray and live my life and act as if and nurture those parts of the garden and tend to it and water it and speak words and do all the things we talked about last week around tending to the mindset. And today I'm offering us a few things that we could do to shift in our habits to possibly tend to these patches of garden ever more consciously. Because a lot of it is unconscious, it's habits, it's ways we've been for years and years that just need some uprooting. I found this story about a cab driver who picked up a passenger late one night, it was a dark night, and they're driving along quietly, and all of a sudden the passenger tapped the driver on the shoulder, and this startled the driver so profoundly that they swerved, almost went into a bus and swerved off the road, and it was very dramatic, and they were sitting there in the quiet, and the passenger said, "I'm so sorry, I didn't realize tapping you on the shoulder would startle you so badly." And the driver said, "Well, you shouldn't do that to people when they're driving." And they sat there for a little longer, and then finally the driver took a deep breath and he said, "I'm sorry, this is my first day driving a taxi cab. For the last 25 years, I've been driving a hearse." Yeah. It was so ingrained in him. Who was in the car with him, right? And that's us. Sometimes it's been so ingrained that when that lack taps you on the shoulders, oh, well, okay. 25 years of believing there's not enough, okay. I got to take a deep breath And I've got to form some new habits, some new ways of looking at my life and bringing the unconscious conscious and stepping into new possibilities. So here are some key things that I think we can do. And I totally admit that all of these can be very disruptive and they can cause tension for us, because part of what the brain looks for, part of what the heart looks for, part of what we want as human beings is comfort. And it's discomforting to tend to some of these areas of the garden that it's just been easy to let the weeds have their way. Just let the weeds have their way. It's okay. It's okay that I don't have a lot of anything good or what I really want. It's okay. I can live with that patch of garden like that. And it takes disruptive energy to go in and get those weeds and say, okay, enough. Enough. But it's part of how we change our lives. Heck, we don't even want to download an upgrade to our phone sometimes for the sake of, oh my gosh, what might happen if I download the upgrade? I'll have to deal with it. So I get it. And that yearning within to have more, be more, do more, express more in our lives that is meaningful to us is real and powerful. So here are some ways, just some easy, quick ways to consider in creating a little disruptive pattern in the brain and in life. The first one is pretty clear. Do something different. If we've been doing the same thing over and over again, we might have to do something different. It's that classic example of insanity that says that we humans tend to do the same thing over and over, expecting different results, right? So when it comes to tending this garden, we've been letting it go, thinking, well, if God loved me, there'd be petunias there. And if there really was a God, they would give me petunias. And I'm just not special enough for petunias, rather than saying, you know what, maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I should actually plant some petunias. I never thought of that. Oh, now there's a disruptive idea, right? And so it's all about being willing to do something different. Go a different direction. Consider a different action. Consider a different mindset. Consider a different possibility. Dr. Joe Dispenza says, if you want a new outcome, you will have to break the habit of being yourself and reinvent a new self. And so it's really about paying attention to the habitual direction that we want to go. Doing something different opens things up. And I can't say that doing something different always means that that different thing brings you a new result, but it's the energy of it that really matters. I was thinking back to when I was in my late 20s and I'd been dating and having a nice time, but it was hard to date as a minister, I totally admit, but that's a whole other conversation altogether. But I finally said to myself, I think I feel ready to have a long-term relationship. I'd really like to have a relationship that could last for a while. And so I knew that if I wanted something extraordinarily different than I'd been experiencing, I would have to do something extraordinarily different. And sometimes that means doing the thing that you resist the most, honestly. So the thing that I was most resistant to, this was back in the ancient days when we didn't have online dating, but we did have a little paper in Huntington Beach that had personal ads. So I placed a personal ad. And I went on some dates with that. And that is not how I met my husband. But I did meet my husband shortly after placing that personal ad, because I know it was that I said, I'm doing something different. I'm open. And that is how life moved for me. So sometimes doing something different than we've ever done in this regard, it opens the energy up to allow some air, some energy to move through that part of our life such that we can experience something different. The next one is to consider consistent small moves. Now, This one is not for you if what you're wanting to change is something that is big, disruptive, and taking you down. In other words, if you're experiencing an addiction that you want to break, if you are in a violent situation that you're being harmed, a consistent small move might seem like the safest thing, but often in those situations, a consistent big thing like going to a 12-step program, getting sober, calling getting help for yourself in a relationship, that might be a big step. And those situations often call for big choices that can be hard. However, when it comes to changing and creating more abundance and more good in our lives, we also sometimes approach it very dramatically and think, I've got to do something big and audacious to have more than enough. And sometimes it's the consistent small moves. When I say consistent, that's how a gardener succeeds, right? It's the daily watering of the plant. It's the daily tending to the weed. It's not big and digging the garden up every day to see if the seeds are growing. It's the daily consistency that brings success. And many of us experience that in the different patches of our gardens also. There's a woman I admire very much named Roz Savage. She's a rower, and she's the first, I believe, and so far only woman to row solo across the world's big three oceans. She's rowed over the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Ocean, and she holds 4 Guinness Books of World Records. She says, be mindful of the link between action and outcome. Ask yourself, if I repeat today's action 365 times, will I be where I want to be in a year? If I do this every day for the next year, will I be where I want to be? And that becomes the opportunity for consistent small moves. I suggest to people with regards to some of these issues, for example, if you're wanting to create more financial abundance, consider the small move of every time you circulate any money to buy a cup of coffee, to pay a bill, to buy a magazine, whatever it is that you do, to take a moment to be grateful for the financial good that flows in your life, to be grateful for that good or service that you are getting in exchange for money. I teach people in abundance classes, every time I pay the bill that allows me to have light in my house, I think to myself, oh, I like light so much. Life is so much better with light. I'm so grateful I have lights in my home. What a blessing. And that bill is paid. It's about just the little consistent action of being grateful every time I get a chance to circulate. If I'm working on having more energy, taking a brief walk every day, maybe even a 5-minute walk around the house or up and down the stairs or around the block, just the littlest move. Sometimes we just think way too big and that causes us to scare ourselves. And we think, I want more energy. I'm probably going to have to exercise for 4 hours a day so I can have more energy and get in health. No, that's too much. I'll stop. And so we stop. Versus, what if I just took a 2-minute walk or a 5-minute walk? I want more peace in my life. I want to experience the abundance of the divine flowing through me. I bet I have to meditate for 10 hours a day. Only people who meditate like His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, probably really have that. But what if a consistent small move is 2 minutes every day with a timer? And when it goes off, you stop and you get up and get about your day. See, we scare ourselves. We talk ourselves out of these things because our brain wants to be normal and wants us to keep doing what we've always done. But disrupting it with these little ways, we can make a difference. And the last one is what is called habit stacking. I learned this first from James Clear in Atomic Habits. It's where we can look at our life and say, well, I have this habit. I do it all the time. One of the ones they use in the book is teeth brushing. Most of us brush our teeth every single day. So for someone who wants to start meditating, it's connecting the new habit to one we've got firmly established. It's saying, okay, I brush my teeth and then I sit down and do my 2 minutes of meditation every day so that there's that feeling of consistency. And my husband Ken and I have started doing that. We get up in the morning and our habit stack looks like this. Coffee, which mostly he makes because it says in the Bible he brews. Right? It's biblical. And then we do our reading, which consists of the Science of Mind magazine daily guide. One of us reads that out loud. We've been working on reading the Science of Mind text. There's a chart you can go through where by the time you've read every little section that it says each day, you've read the whole book in a year. So we're doing that. So one of us reads that. Then we meditate. We set a timer. We do our meditation. And then we do our puzzles to keep our brains working well, our Wordle. Our Dr. Roger got us connected to that connections thing. So now we're addicted to that and other things. And then we get on with our day. That's our habit stack. And it feels weird when we don't do it, but it's become such a habit now that even when I travel or he travels, we call each other, we get on a FaceTime, and we do our morning ritual together because it's part of what feels normal to starting our day. So stacking these habits. These are just three little ways. There's lots of ways. Even just asking myself, what's something that I could do differently that might get me a different result? And if your brain says this much, take it down to that much. Just some little action this week. I invite you when it comes to cultivating more of something this week to consider doing something different than you've ever done before. To consider some consistent small move that you can do this week just to see how it feels. Or consider habit stacking, connect it to something else you already do habitually and see what happens, as well as continuing to shift our mindsets, which will always be our eternal work. Next week, in our final week, we're going to talk about cultivating abundance through generosity. And we're going to really lean into forgiveness next week. If you struggle with forgiving people, that's one of the things we're going to deal with. So please be with us. I'd like to close with a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. He says, "Keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your behaviors. Keep your behaviors positive because your behaviors become your habits. Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. And keep your values positive because your values become your destiny." Please join me as we pray this morning. And I invite our practitioner prayer partners to stand with me. And let us remember that as they stand, one of those small moves that we can make is to come down front and let someone pray for us with regards to cultivating abundance. So after the service, when these practitioners are up here, come forward and let us pray. Let us pray you into that new patch of garden. And so as we pray today together, we take this moment to just remind ourselves of the brilliant nature of life, the God presence that exists in, through, and as all creation. We take this moment to breathe into it and to remind ourselves of our firm belief that God is all. God, Spirit, infinite intelligence, the light that permeates all, the love of this universe is expressing in, through, and as all things, all people, all places, all activities. And right now, as we are in the midst of it, it is in the midst of us. And so I accept and affirm for each one of us that we are abiding in that divine presence, that that nature of it is imparting itself always to us, and that we are walking forward this day to continue to cultivate our mindsets and our habits such that we make ourselves more available for the true essence that is seeking expression through us. And so we are divinely guided, we are divinely inspired, especially into new, powerful habits this week that bring about more abundance in any and all areas of our life that we desire. We are abundant beings right here, right now. And I'm so grateful to accept and affirm that this is the truth of us now. And as such, I release this prayer into that beautiful law that makes it so. I let it go, I let it be, and know that as it has been spoken, it is done, that this prayer is deeply planted in the rich soil of creation and is springing forth even now. I let it be, and so it is. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Mile High Church podcast. This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners like you. To make a donation, please visit milehighchurch.org.